Hello. I felt like I probably should have been recording myself while I was listening to you, because I had some very interesting reactions. I found myself talking back to you a few times. It was very funny. I'm sorry about the loud noise in the background. I have the air conditioner on because it's really gotten hot here all of a sudden. Spring sprung hard. Today it was today like 93 or 95 degrees. It got warm. And so I have the air conditioner on in my bedroom because I don't like sleeping when it's warm. I like to be cold so I can cuddle up under my blankets and cocoon in my pile of pillows. I have a king-size bed, and I think that we have something like 15 pillows. And I have a big fluffy comforter and a couple of, the fleece, really soft, fuzzy throw blankets that I cuddle around and snuggle with, because part of me is still a child, I guess. I don't know. The small pleasures in life that you were talking about, I started laughing because it is absolutely true. I get tickled by the smallest things. I got completely tickled when you were talking about going to when they reinterred King Richard III's remains, because I was like, oh my god, I know what you're talking about. I would have loved to have been there. I got really excited about them finding that. I watched a documentary recently about it, about how they had found his remains under a parking lot that used to have been a church, and it was under a letter. There was a letter in the parking lot. I can't remember what the letter was, but I don't know. Something about the archaeologist had some divine feeling, or maybe there was a psychic involved. I don't remember. I have to watch it again now. I watch a lot of documentaries, because, I'm kind of a nerd that way. And some of my favorite are some of the British castles and documentaries along that line. I know, silly and oddly obsessive about those things, I guess. I don't know. U.S. history, I think it's kind of like one of those, I learned it in school, and so, but world history, you get snippets. You spend lots of time talking about the Roman Empire, and things like that, and general world history, but there's not a whole lot of going into a lot of things. Like, I find Henry VIII fascinating. Things like that. I know, it's going into that nerddom again. I do find the history of my own country interesting as well. It's just one of those things that it's here. And I learned it, so I find something that's not sitting right here more interesting, the more exotic, the grass is greener on the other side kind of thing, I guess. God, I say a lot. I've got to stop doing that. There was a theater teacher when I was in junior high that if you said the word she would make you stop talking and spin in circles 3 times. Fortunately, I didn't have her as a teacher, but I was part of the home economics class that made the costumes for the drama class, and I had to speak to her several times, and it was always very intimidating because she was the theater teacher and she was all about speaking correctly, and you're always afraid that you're going to mess up, and Oh my gosh. It was always it was always a trip. I did there in high school, but not in junior high. I did other things like band. Oh my gosh, I was such a band nerd. And wood shop. I took wood shop in the 8th grade. I was one of only two girls in my junior high that did. That was funny. But it sounded fun, you know? I'm always up for new adventures. I was laughing about your sports thing, the rugby, where you scored a point against the Olympic rugby players. I thought, well, that is something fantastic. I'd be very proud of that, too. I don't have any sports adventures. I never played a lot of sports. I mean, except for, you know, kickball. I liked kickball, but it wasn't actually an official sport, so there was no trophies for that one. I don't know. I do want to say thank you for sharing such a hard situation with me. Part of me felt really guilty that you were going through all that pain just to tell me about it. I find that's even more impressive what you've been through and done it, because you felt like that was the right thing to do. That was the noble thing to do, was to stay. And so many other men would have just left. And I would not have blamed you. I don't know that I could have lived like that. I mean, I think my situation's hard sometimes, but my God. Ugh, it's just... I just wanted to reach out and hold you and say, I'm so sorry. How terrible it must be to be devoid of human contact, physical contact. What do you do? I'm not sure how much of that you got. I was startled by one of my daughters. I was sitting in the laundry room floor, smoking a cigarette. Anyway, again, children. Anyway, I was sitting in the laundry room floor smoking a cigarette, because that's one of my bad habits. She walked through to go to the bathroom to go get in the shower, because there's a bathroom through the laundry room. My other daughter was in the bathtub in the front room, front bathroom. We have two. One's in the front part of the house, and the other one is back through the laundry room. So she was going to take a shower, and I'm like, what are you doing? It even sounded a bit harsh, because I was caught off surprise. So anyway, sorry if you caught that. This recording app I have won't let me go back and listen unless I complete the recording, and I didn't want to complete the recording because I'm nowhere near done. So anyway, back to what we were talking about. Oh, yes. What you're going through. Wow. Wow. You are an incredibly strong man to endure that. And yes, I believe you that you didn't cheat on her that whole time. Because I have no reason not to believe you. See, that's how I work. I'm going to believe anything you tell me. Within reason, you know. Human. I'm not stupid. I'm not gullible. But on a general, probable basis, I will believe things. because until someone gives me reason not to believe them, I'm going to. Because I am, I call it foolish. Some people do, I don't know. But I like to believe the good in people. I want to give everybody a good first chance, you know? Now, that being said, I really detest being lied to. It's one of the things that bother me more than anything. It's being lied to. You can ask my kids. Oh my gosh. They get in so much more trouble if they lie to me about something they did. It doesn't help that they're terrible liars. Maybe that's a good thing. It is a good thing. I'm a terrible liar. I have no poker face. Which can be to my detriment, because when I don't like something or someone, it's very hard for me to hide that facially. My face gives me away even when I don't realize it's happening. I've had people come up to me and be like, wow, you really don't like her. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh my gosh, the look you were giving while she was up there talking. I was like, I didn't know I was giving a face. Yeah, that's me. No poker face. I give it away. You know, as far as... But I'm jumping around again. I wanted to go back to you. I think it's tragic what you've been through. But at the same time, I am so excited for that light at the end of the tunnel for you. You know, there's a chance for real happiness for you out there now. I think that's fantastic. I mean, obviously it's not going to be easy. You're going to go through some really hard time, I'm sure. But I think, I know that you're going to come out the other side of that so much more happy. And as far as your daughters taking your mother's side, well, their mother's side, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't even know them, and I'm not surprised. That's a normal reaction. I think that as they get older and get on with their own lives, their own relationships, their own families, they're going to look back on things and say, oh my gosh, you poor man. Because as kids and teenagers and even young adults, we are very selfish. And we don't see what our parents are going through. My parents divorced when I was 20 years old. And, oh my gosh, I took it so hard. I remember when they told me I had moved away to college. I was actually living with my grandparents here in Oklahoma. And my parents were living in Texas with my three younger sisters. I'm the oldest of four girls. And I was in my room studying for a government exam. Hated that class. And my grandmother comes in and says, she's got the cordless phone in her hand, because, you know, back in the day when people actually had phones. And she said, your parents are on the phone, they want to talk to you, which was a really strange thing. Because both my parents never called me together, and my dad never called me. My mom would call me occasionally, but it was usually me calling her. So I got on the phone, and they told me that they were separating. And I couldn't understand at first, that it just just kept saying, what? What? Like, I couldn't hear what they were saying. And then when it finally got through, when I finally, the emotion finally set in, I finally realized what they were saying to me, I got upset and I threw the phone across the room. And I refused to speak to either one of them for months. I couldn't talk to either one of them without just bursting into tears. I talked to my sisters every day, and about what they were going through and what was going on there, and it was hard, and I was angry at both of them. And I didn't understand what was wrong, because growing up, they just seemed so happy, you know? And then when things weren't so great, when I was in high school, my mom was in college. She'd gone back to school and was becoming a nurse. Yeah, I'm from a family full of nurses. And she was going to school to be a nurse, and she graduated college when I graduated high school. We graduated a few weeks apart from each other. And it was at that point that she could stand on her own. And she was done. She was ready to be on her own. And I was mad at her. So mad at her. That she would be that selfish. And, I mean, I still had three little sisters living at home, and I say little, they weren't, well, my youngest one was still little, she was probably eight, yeah, she was eight, and the other two were teenagers, and so I was so mad at her. Oh, I was mad at her. Now I look back, my mother and I are super close now, and I look back knowing what I know and looking at things with clear eyes. They were both miserable. They barely spoke to each other. Those last few years that I lived at home, Mom would come home from school and she would go to her room and she would sit in her bed surrounded by her college books. Dad would come home and he would go to the dining room and sit in front of his computer and drink. And they hardly ever spoke to each other. But I didn't see that because I was a teenager and I had my head up my own ass. All I cared about was going out with my friends and my part-time job at the local fast food restaurant, and you know, nothing else mattered to me. I couldn't see past my own nose. But looking back now, like, I don't understand how they were ever married. You know, my mother is so open and forward-thinking and intelligent. Not that my dad's not intelligent. He is in his own way. But he is so backwards. He is a stereotypical southern guy. The hunting and the fishing and the beer and the buddies and the wife needs to be in the kitchen and taking care of the kids. And my mother is such a modern woman. You know, that I just don't understand why she was ever like that or how she was ever married to him. So, yeah, I get where your kids are right now. They're not seeing both sides. Because they're not seeing things clearly. But it took me growing up and experiencing life and being in adult relationships and helping married to understand what was really going on, to really see it, you know? So don't lose faith just yet in that situation. Give them time. They have to grow up a bit. Be patient with them. All the times that I was angry with my mother, and I'm sure, in fact, I know, I wasn't always nice to her about it. She never gave up on me. She never blew up at me. Don't get me wrong. She told me when I was being a shit. But that left the door open for me to come around as an adult when I got things. Not that we ever stopped talking, because we never stopped. But we weren't close for a while. And now we're closer than ever. You know, she lives a few hours away, but I talk to her a couple times a week. You know, we see each other as often as we can. And I know it's completely corny, but she's totally my hero. You know, she's one of those people that, you know, oh, I want to be that person when I grow up. I didn't think that as a kid, by the way, but as an adult, I totally do. So, yeah, I get that. And they're going to be mad at you for a while. And they're going to side with her for a while. And I'm sure that her parents, the upbringing that she received, really sounds like it screwed with her. And I'm sure that she feels completely justified in what's going on. And that conviction carries over, and I don't know if she talks to the kids about how she feels about things or what y'all are going through, but I'm sure that they're picking up on her conviction of things. So I see that the next bit is going to be hard. But it's like going through the winter. It's hard and it's dark and it's cold. But when the spring comes, it is fantastic. Your spring's coming, darling. It's coming. I'm so excited for you. So excited. I'm jealous. I'm a bit jealous of it, honestly, the spring. Not the winter you'll go through, obviously, but the spring. Oh my goodness. How do I explain? My husband just, I guess it's the machismo thing. He doesn't, he's not romantic. At all. He doesn't even understand it. He very rarely says nice things to me. In fact, I can't remember a time my husband ever said anything nice, complimented my appearance. Sex. I don't have the kind of reactions. My sex life has been fantastic compared to what you've been through. It's just lacking. I am very passionate, and he's very not. You know, it feels like going through a routine, a preordained routine. There's no excitement. I'm doing this because this is what is expected of me and this is what I'm required to do. Not because I'm really turned on and want you and want to be with you and wants you to feel passion. It's, this is what I have to do so I can get off and go to sleep. And fortunately, I have been able to talk to him about it. Those talks don't usually go real well in the beginning. And he tries. Terrible example. We were having sex one night, and I was really, I had been listening to some audios, which is a gateway, and so I'm like really thinking about some really dirty things, and I was like, oh my god, I want that so bad. And I asked him to spank me. He's behind me, thrusting, and I asked him to spank me. He stops. Just stops what he's doing. And I turn around and look at him, and he's frozen still with this look of disgust on his face. Like, I had just asked him to do something heinous. And I just, oh, I don't know, I feel like something broke inside me. Like, there's something wrong with me. But there's not. There's not something wrong with me. I think that's one of the great things that I've discovered about GWA is there's not something wrong with me. There are so many people out there. They're into those things or into things that are stranger than what I'm into. I don't feel like I'm into things that strange, really. I like to be spanked. I like someone to dominate me. I want someone to take control. You know? I want to be someone's kitten. You know, I don't always want to be the aggressor, and I feel like I'm always the aggressor. Don't get me wrong, sometimes it's fun to be the aggressor. But that's not who I want to be. That's not what turns me on. So, I guess I'm pretty much a sub. Yeah. I found GWA because a friend introduced me to it. We were, I don't even remember what prompted the situation. We were talking about something. And a friend online. We met through a website. It was an adult role-playing website where you make these characters. And it's kind of like GWA and the anonymity of it. You make these characters and you type out these stories that occur between these characters and their interactions, and so these, it's the interactions between these characters, and it was an adults only site, because it was very sexually based. And so it was this friend that I'd met through there. We just really clicked, and we've been friends for several years now. And he's like, oh, go listen to this. And he just sent me a link to an audio. I don't even remember what the audio was now. And I was like, oh my goodness, I really like that. And so I kind of got hooked. I was like, where did you find that? And he's like, oh, it's just a site. And so I started listening, and I was like, oh my gosh, I really like this. This is really awesome. And then one day I got brave enough to make one. And I get where you say, when you get such a charge out of it, such a thrill. Oh my gosh, I so get that. I get that because I do. I get such a rush out of it, knowing that someone else is listening and that what I'm putting out there is exciting people. It's turning guys on. Guys are coming to my voice. And girls, I guess. I mean, I've listened to some girls' audios and thought, oh my god, that's really hot, and, you know, had a little fun with it. Not that I'm into women. I don't know that I'm not, honestly. I certainly prefer men. I've never been with a woman, I don't know. I think I'm curious. I'd like to know what it was like. But that's not where my bread is buttered. I like the masculine, manly thing. I like for a man to make me feel like I'm a woman. Does that make sense? I don't mean that in that, you know, get your ass in the kitchen and cook me a pie. There's that indescribable feeling of how a man can make you feel soft and feminine. You are very talented at that trait as well. Some of your audios I just love because I just feel sexy. Some of your audios just make me feel sexy just listening to them. The way you adore a woman, the way you worship her body, it's just, it's beautiful. Stone Angels like that. That's my favorite, honestly, of all your stuff. I've listened to it so many times. I think it's funny that you sent it to me again, because I was like, I'd already listened, you already sent me this one, but that's okay, because I like this one. I'd listened to it yesterday on my lunch break, and then you sent it last night. I was like, yep, I love that. I have heard, gone and listened to the whole Buffy, recording that you did on top of the part that you sent me, because the part that you sent me was really super hot. I listened to the whole audio and I do like it. I was never a huge Buffy fan. Like, I loved the movie, and so I watched the first bit of the series, but I didn't have cable when that was a big thing, and I don't know. Cable here in America, if you don't have cable, you don't get a lot of things. So I didn't have cable, so honestly I couldn't watch the show, and that was before the days of Netflix and binge watching shows on the internet. And I just never went back around to watch it. I guess I probably should. Just because it seems so popular. Seems right up my alley. Vampires. I read a bunch of vampire novels when I was in junior high, high school. Oh my gosh. Not Anne Rice's, though. I started reading The Vampire Lestat, but she gets too wordy, and I get bored. Is that terrible? I think because my mind, I have a very active imagination. Too active sometimes, honestly. But it's very easy for me to read a book or hear a story and see it, you know? See the whole thing playing out, picture all of the things. And in her novels, she tends to be very descriptive so that you... And I get what she's doing. She's trying... get you to see exactly what she wants you to see, what she's seeing in her mind. But I feel like it's being spoon-fed to me, every little piece of the scenery and everything, and it's too much. I'm just like, I get the rock. I see the rock with the, you know, the slime and, you know, the symbolism of it and everything, but you don't have to spend 3 paragraphs describing it. Not to me. You know, and so I found myself getting bored with it very quickly and never finished. So, I do have a terrible addiction to bad romance novels. You know, the cheesy dime store romance novels. I have a thing for those. Not those in general, because it's not fair to say. The historical romance novels. Those are the ones I am addicted to. Especially the Scottish ones. Men in kilts. Super hot.
I'm just saying, I love that. I don't know why, but calves can be really sexy. And yeah, so all of that is a blatant picture of the fact that I am an Outlander fan. Right? That's very stereotypical for me. And I am. I read the books. And I'm an avid follower of the series. And so now I'm just getting off into weirdness, I think. There were some other things I was going to say. Oh my gosh. I laughed so hard when you were telling the story about the spy, about being considered a spy, because that was funny. I imagine that you were quite the troublemaker in your youth. I love it. Oh my goodness. You know, it's funny. I have... I've started several recordings in the last few days. Just, like, randomly through my day, like, driving to work or on my lunch break. And I just start recording myself talking to you. And I end up just tossing them. But I wish I would listen to them before I did that, because there were some poignant things here and there. And now they seem just out of reach. Like if I turned my head, I would see them. But I'm not. I'm not silly. I don't know. Your recording made me so happy. I don't know why. That's so silly. Isn't it just listening to someone talk? But no matter what you're talking about, I'm a captive audience. I get what you were talking about, the cadence of the way someone talks. Your voice, there's a cadence to it that I can't escape it. And I laugh because it's like, this is the voice that was tailor-made for my ear. I just can't get enough of it. It is... That and your natural storytelling abilities and everything else. Oh, that reminds me of what I was going to say. You were talking about... the girl that you... ended things recently with, or she ended things ended recently. I hate to tell you that that is part and parcel for the whole internet thing. I don't know if you've ever fallen victim to this situation before. I have. And it makes you wary. Because it's very easy to fall in those heavy moments where you just think, oh my God, this person is amazing. And everything's wonderful. And then things end because they're too far away. Because they're not right there. It is part of that whole internet relationship culture. I read a thing once about friendships that are formed online between strangers that most of them last a few weeks, some of them last months. And months is long term in internet friendships, relationships. Sorry, that sounds completely disheartening. And I'm not trying to downplay the feelings, because I know those feelings and that heartache. And they're completely real. I've just learned to be a little more guarded. Yeah, I have friendships that are long-term friendships with people I've never met in person. Very few of them, actually. I think, honestly, I can only count one that's been any length. And that's the friend I was telling you about earlier, Marcus. He and I have been friends for several years now, and that's not a normal length of time for someone to be friends, but we are. We're good friends, and we go to periods where things fade out, and we're both busy with lives, and so we don't talk much, and then we'll go to talking every day for a long time, and then something, life will happen, and we'll talk to each other, you know, a few times, text messages here and there. It waxes and wanes. Like friendships do. Normal friendships do. My normal friendships do. You know, I go through periods where I talk to some of my friends every day, and I see them all the time, too. I don't hear from them for a week, and we see each other rarely, and then it comes back around. I think that just is the way things are in life, you know. Sometimes we're traveling on the same roads, and sometimes we take detours, and we come back to the same roads. I think the internet makes it harder to come back to the same road, which is why those friendships don't come about the same way that real ones do. Well, I don't say real. Real is a horrible word, because that doesn't, that's degrading internet friendships, and I'm not going to do that, because some of those are some of the most real friendships I've ever had. So that's not really a fair thing to say, but person to person, face to face real friendships. How about that? I like that term better. I think there's something awesome about a friendship like the one we are forming, is that because of the anonymity, because we don't really know who's on the other side, we just trust that we are who we say we are, that you're able to spill out your emotions and your heart and your feelings and what you're going through in a way that you can't with other people. Because there's, well, there's that whole fear of changing things, and fear of them looking at you different, or even just the fear of looking into their face while you're telling them things. So, yeah, I giggled like a silly little schoolgirl when you told me the name of the poem was going to be in your new recording. First of all, when you were just describing the scene about having her tied up and caressing her body with a flower, I thought, oh my gosh, it's giving me chills. That is so So erotic. And then when you told me the name of the poem he's telling her while he's doing so, I giggled like a silly little girl. It was fantastic. Truly was. So, thank you. That was fun. Oh, goodness. It's getting to be my favorite time of evening where everybody's going to bed and I'm left to my own devices. There's this time of night that becomes my time. Because I'm an incredibly busy woman. I have a full-time job, and I have kids, and then a husband, and I do lots of volunteer work, and I have my reenactment group, and so I'm constantly busy with things. But it's usually this time of night when everything is settled and everybody's in bed. My husband works nights, so he isn't here. And I get to just lay in my bed and listen to my audios or make my audios and watch TV, whatever I want to watch, or work on one of my projects. And it's so nice. It's my selfish time. I like selfish time. I can be a bit selfish sometimes. I'm not gonna lie. It's one of those little guilty pleasures in life. I have my downfalls. I have a terrible habit of being tardy. It's a horrible part of my nature. And I mean, I'm not always late for everything. I'm not that person. But I am frequently late for things. Mostly because I'm a procrastinator. That's probably my biggest problem in life, is I am a horrible procrastinator. Because I put things off and put things off until I have to do them. Now, I work well under pressure, but it's not always the best outcome, because I could have done something better if I'd actually taken the time that it's required to do what I needed to do. I laugh because I feel like sometimes it's because I have so many ideas that there's just not enough time in the day for all of them, which is fair, because it's true. Right now I'm working on planning and executing an event with my reenactment group. We take turns hosting different events every year. My group puts on a Samhain event every year and a spring event. Not Beltane. There's a group that does Beltane locally, but not us. But they throw a really great Beltane party. Anyway, I'm planning our Samhain event this year. Something about it's very near and dear to my heart. That whole Celtic holiday. I don't know, I guess because I always liked Halloween and, you know, that draw to the Celtic heritage of mine. And it just kind of, you know. So I foolishly said, I want to be the one in charge of this event. because our group, our barony, let me explain. This group, we are separated into kingdoms. Then it's separated down from kingdoms to baronies and shires and cantons and things like that. I live in the kingdom of Onsteora, which is Texas and Oklahoma. And it's not really that big of a surprise why it's called Onsteora, because Texas is the Lone Star State. There's one star on their flag. So our kingdom flag is yellow with a big black star, a 10-pointed star. And anyway, my barony, which is called the Barony of Eldern Hills, because we live in the shadow, well, the very small shadow of the Wichita Mountains, and there's three of them. It's the oldest mountain formation. It just happens to be one of the smaller ones because it's so old. Anyway, the Samhain will mark our 30th anniversary as a barony. And we are actually going to get a new baron and baroness at this event, because our baron and baronesses are chosen by the king and queen and popular vote of the barony. And they switch out every 4 to 5 years. And anyway, it's about time our baron and baroness decided, the current decided, that it's been about 5 years. They're ready to take a break from it and step down, and another couple step up. We don't know who it's going to be yet. That's still a ways away. So there's voting, and then, of course, the king and queen will decide the final decision of who it will be. Our kings and queens are chosen a really interesting way. They're not handed down through bloodlines, because, well, then only a limited amount of people would actually get to be royalty in our group. And so we do it by battle. We have one-on-one. They have competitions, chivalric heavy fighter things. They have, they're armored up and they're having how do I even explain it? They have, instead of metal, we use rattan sticks because of a safety feature, because rattan theoretically will break before bone breaks. These people come off very bruised and battered. I am just beginning in it, so I haven't sustained any huge bruises yet. But anyway, they fight, and they use medieval fighting techniques, and these one-on-one fights, and the winner is declared by, point system. You know, if you hit them here, it's so many points. If you hit them here, so many points. It's, it's those kind of things. And so anyway, every 6 months we have a crown tournament where people, men and women both, who want to fight for the crown will enter this competition, and whoever wins the overall competition becomes the king or queen, and they choose a companion to be their queen or king. We have had a queen in our kingdom. We were the first kingdom in the society to have a queen that won a tournament of her own right. She wasn't the queen because a guy won and picked her. That's because she won. So we're very proud of that. We're a very accepting society. We have same couple kings and baronesses. In fact, one of the groups that's just about an hour away from us, we do lots of things with the baron, the leaders of that group, the baronesses. They're a lesbian couple. And they're fantastic. They're so much fun. I'm a very liberal person. I'm so accepting of things. My general view of it is you're not hurting anybody. It's your own business. You know? Now, if it comes to physically harming people or psychologically damaging someone, then yes, that's not okay. But, you know, what you do in your own bedroom is your business, not mine. What you do with your body is your business, not mine. You know? What you do with somebody else's body, as long as they want you to do it, is your business and theirs, not mine. You know? That's kind of how I view things in the world. I'm all about what makes people happy. If it makes you happy and you're not hurting anybody, why not? And sometimes, like in the situation of a terribly unhappy marriage, you're already unhappy. They're unhappy. So, yeah, it's going to hurt, but you'll survive it, and you'll be happier in the end. You both will. There you go. Sometimes you got to break a little eggs to make a cake. Anyway, so where was I going with all of that? Oh, I get so sidetracked so easy. So the Samhain event that I'm hosting, it's our 30th anniversary, plus we're going to have the crowning of the new Baron and Baroness, and the King and Queen are going to be there, and it's turning out to be this huge thing. And I knew it was going to be huge because I'm the one that realized it was our 30th anniversary, because I am the historian. Yes, in the group of historians, there is a historian that's responsible for the history of what the group of historians is doing. And that's kind of a interesting quandary, isn't it? I write the newsletter and record the history, and I have several large totes full of old newsletters from the beginning of our barony, and I was looking through some because I like to pull old articles and put them in the new newsletters, reintroduce things and things that people didn't know about, because I haven't been in this group that long. 3 years, as long as I've been doing this. And so there's lots of things I know nothing about. And so I figure there's other people that don't, so I share that. And so I found this article about the beginning of our barony, and I thought, oh my gosh, this would be awesome. And oh my gosh, it's this year, this Samhain, this October. So I tend to bite off really big projects. And I'm not actually procrastinating about it this time. That's something amazing, isn't it? I am not procrastinating. I am jumping feet first into it already, because I want it to be amazing. I want it to be magical. I want people to feel like we stepped back in time and are truly living our recreations. I'm excited about it in a really nerdy way. I don't know. It's silly. I know. But like you said, the small things. The small things make me happy. I'm a super easy person to please. I actually have to curtail myself sometimes because I get a little too enthusiastic. Overzealous. And so I have to rein myself in and think, okay, I don't want to scare people. I have to slow down. Like, I'm looking at the time on this thinking, oh my God, this is over an hour now. He's going to think I'm insane. Or maybe not. If it's anything like me, you love listening anyway. I'm very excited about hearing your new recording. I really want to hear this poem. You said something about some questions for me. What do you want to know? I'm an open book. I think that's a good way to end. Because, as I mentioned, it's over an hour now, and I'm sure you have a lot of other things to get on with, like sending me a new message. As many as you want to send. I hope you're sleeping well tonight. And if you're not, then I'm here. You can tell me what's on your mind. Maybe it'll help. Lord knows talking about things makes them easier. Alright. Have a good day. I'm expecting you'll listen to this in the morning. Or in the afternoon. Or whatever time of day you get it. Anyway. It's 9 p.m. here. 9:15. I'm going to go take a bubble bath. And listen to some of your old recordings. I'm slowly going back through your catalog. I'm a fan of Jack the Ripper, by the way. That's a good one. I think because Annabelle Lee is one of my favorite poems. And it's used so well there. I'll talk to you later. Bye.